Today's daf is daf Ayin Dalet. We're holding five lines down from the top. Hekidami. Asks the Gemara, now that we're talking about the Mepech and Mezim, what exactly is the chronological order of when these events ostensibly took place? Hekidami. If we're talking about, assuming the Reish and the Sefer together, Yidukami Achrei Aruchei Hanibasroi, we're now assuming, as Abaye did, that both are referring to Mepech v'Mezim. So if we're talking about that this last cut that was later, that the last Edim, what they did is that they said that the event took place after the time that the first cut had said that the event took place. So in other words, let's say the first Edim that walked in, and they walked in blind, remember, according to this, there was no previous cut, the way Abaye is understanding the sugya. So that if that's the case, why don't they have to pay up the entire value of the eved? Akati to me eved l'rav boi shalumi. Because after all, the chimachayev l'lagavra, when they were saying that on Sunday this event had taken place, whereas the second cut says no, in actuality it took place only on Monday. So at that point, when they were mechayev the person, and they wanted now to say that the other, the Rav, would have to be freeing his Eved on Sunday, at that point, he did not have to get rid of his Eved, and they were saying that a man who owns an Eved should have that Eved taken away from him. So that's a classic case of the Kasha Zaman. They should pay the whole value. Ella, therefore, the only possibility of understanding this is the Kamekadme Kedume Hanir Basroi. The Edim that came second to be Mazim, the first cut, said that the event actually happened the day before. So let's say the first cut had said it happened on Monday. They said, Monday you were with us in Timbuktu, but there was an event on Sunday that was similar, and in fact he was mechuyev to be meshachar his eved on Sunday, which would mean that at the time that the second cut had been mechayev him to free his eved, he was already chayiv to free his Eved. Now, v'i, nonetheless, this is not going to help you very much, because v'i de lo amad bedin, if it never happened that he had been taken to court regarding the attack on his Eved before the time that the second cut said that he was chayiv to free the Eved, still, akati to make kule Eved l'rav boi shlumeli, they should still have to pay the full value. Because Dakata Gavra lo Mechayev. The Rav is not Mechuyev to be Meshachrer, his Eved, until the Beit Din is Mechayev to be Meshachrer, his Eved. According to Rashi, because since Shein Va'ayin is a Knas, and Moda B'Knas is Patur, so long as the Rav comes to Besdin and can be patering himself, we certainly can't come along and be Mechayev him to free his Eved, because that Chiyev doesn't exist yet. The Tosfos points out that even if Yod Moda B'Knas V'Achachach Bo'edim is Chayev, would be Moda, then in this case, the Rav is not considered the Boya Bar Chiyuva, because when it comes to Knas, as opposed to actual financial value that's owed to somebody, a fine isn't even owed until such time as he's Eimed B'Din. Obviously, if this was real money that he owed him, then from whenever he owed it to him, he owed it to him. But a fine was not owed until it comes into court. But however we learn, certainly we cannot consider the event as being sufficient to say that this guy already essentially lost his Eved. In what sense had he lost his Eved? Even if you hold that he's Mechuyev, but he certainly could have been made and pottered himself. Ella, what you'll have to say is that we're talking about the Amad Badin, that actually this person who had, the Rav, who had attacked his Eved, was really a Bar Chiyuva at the time of the Eidos of the Kat, who were Zaymanim, and therefore he can no longer pater himself, or according to Tosfos, is a real Chiyev. So let's say the Rav went ahead and was Chovel Shein V'Ayin of his Eved. In reality, it was first Shein and then Ayin. And now they went to court. The president already had paskined that he has to pay the Demei Ayin to his previous Eved, who is now a free man. The Rav now, in order to avoid this, runs away to a new town. And the Eved follows him, traces him, brings him to court now in that new town. Edim come along, and they are Me'id, that actually this Bezdin was mechayev him to pay the Dmei Shino. And this took place at a later date. So this was completely not true. In fact, the Bezdin was mechayev him to pay Dmei Eino, even from before. Comes along now a second Katavedim and said, look, you weren't even there. And what's more, it was Shino Ve'eino, in that order. In which case, they are made, not at the event, but at the fact that the Bezdin had been mechayev the Brav to pay Dmei Eino. And therefore, now the difference, the ayin, the value of the ayin, as opposed to the shein, is what the kat hazemimim now have to pay to the oden. In the sefer, of course, it was the exact opposite. In fact, he had been mesame the ayin, and then had knocked out his tooth. The eved had brought him to court. The bezdin was mechayev that he had to be meshacher the eved, and also pay, but in this case only pay for a shein. The Rav runs away, comes along the Eved, brings Edim Zomimim to show that actually the Beit Din was Mechayevim to pay Dmei Ayin. Comes along now the Kat, that had seen the original case, said that you weren't even there, and they said actually the Bezdin was Mechayevim to pay the Shein, rather, instead of the Ayin, and therefore they have to pay now to the Odin, the Dmei Ayin. Now Rava, of course, who was trying to bring a Raya from understanding the entire situation, because of those words, Rav Omer came, which Abayi really cannot explain very well. So remember that he learned that the Braita was talking about three kitot, where the first kat had originally come along and said the opposite of what this kat said. The new kat now, which is the one that turned out to be Zomimim, they are, we call the middle kat, they came along and say the opposite, so they were mukhashot originally. The third kat comes along and is mezim, the middle cut. So now let us see, says the Gemara, how exactly we understood the structure and the series of events in the Braita according to Rava. Where exactly was Rava's diyuk from? Dukya to Rava, Rava's proof that hakhashas chilat hazama mehecha. From what part of the Braita? I mean, certainly it couldn't be the Reisha, could it? But even the Reisha, if it's talking about that first case, in the first case, actually, the middle cut, that turned out to be the Zomimim, never were mukhashot, really. Reshag miko mitkachashe mitziyai. Where do you get the idea that there was a hakhasha bichlal? The bottom line would be, let's say that we had not been mazim them, and there was only the second cut that we're now calling the middle cut. The truth is, the kivan de ilo mitzame, if there had not been Edom that came along to say you were never even there at all, what would we have done? We would have sahaduta kavatayu kokaima. We would have taken lock, stock, and barrel, the edut of that second, which we're calling the middle, but in that case, of course, would be the last cut, and it would have been entirely acceptable to us. Why? The dina kavatayu paskina. What the first cut had said would have been irrelevant, since lomaisa yesh bichlal matayimona. We would have ended up being pesek according to the second cut. Since, after all, according to the first cut, the Rav had to pay even more. He had to pay the Mei Ayin. According to the second cut, he only had to pay the Mei Shein. Both kitot are in agreement, though, to the lesser amount. And the rule, therefore, is that included in a testimony of 200 is certainly 100. In this case, included in the testimony of Ayin is certainly the value of a shein. So therefore, what we would have done is we would have said, look, we have two kitot edim, both of whom are in agreement that this eved is free, and furthermore, that at least the mei shein is owed to the adayim, and that's exactly what the second cut said, in which case it wasn't the second cut that in any way was going to be weakened in the testimony. It was actually the first cut was the one that we weren't going to paskin like. It was only the first cut that was mukhash. The mitziyoi, the cut that we're calling the middle cut, is actually lo mitkachashe miti. There is no hakasha because we did not weaken their testimony. On the contrary, we strengthened it by the fact that the first cut agrees that certainly Dmei Shein is included. And therefore now, when the last cut comes along and does hazama, well, obviously they're chayef to pay. Because in that case, there was no hakashat chilat hazama at all. The case that Rava was bringing about hakashat chilat hazama was where Edom had come along and said that Reuven had never killed Shimon at all. And then we find out that they weren't even there. So there, indeed, there was a hakasha. Obviously, we would not have paskened a chiyuv on Reuven if we have hakasha between the Edom. So obviously, initially, we held that it was a good raya. We took for granted that Rava actually was bringing a raya from the Resha, of course. But that's because we thought that the truth is that even though we utilized Bechlal Matayim Mona, but that doesn't mean that there was no Hakasha. The fact is that we have two sets of Edim that are contradictory. Nonetheless, now the Gemara is saying, but since Lamaisa, we would have ended up paskening precisely what they said, we can't call that a riot, akhasha trilata zamana, case where what they said would have been batal mevatal. And therefore you're coming to say now that we're going to be mekayim kasha zomam, when in reality they weren't zomim anything. Because by the time they had shown up, there was somebody who was already saying the opposite. Amalei said Ravashi to Ravach Breda Ravika, actually Rava's raya is as follows. Rava held, Rava Savar, Mireish b'shalosh kitot, Seifanami b'shalosh kitot. The way Rava understood it, the Reisha is unavoidably referring to a case where there are three kitot. Because, as we've pointed out, according to Abaya, the words Shaharei HaRav Omer Kein is very, very problematic, and he has to kvetch it in with a shuhorn. But since that's a given, says Rava, the entire bright is clearly based on the same case. It's just a question of what they had said is mirrored, but it's still three kitot, and therefore seifanami b'shalosh kitot, right? So therefore, his diak is. So diak, Rava was medayik miseifa. So what are we talking about over here, therefore, if it's three kitot? Initially, otu betray, and they were v'amre, that the Rav had been mapilat shinovisime, you know. He has to free his eved because he knocked out his tooth. Now he went ahead and blinded him, he has to pay for the eye. And at that point, in fact, we went to Besdin, and Besdin paskened that that's what he's chayef to pay. So now he's going to have to pay dmei ayin le'eved besides freeing him. Oto betrei achrine. So now, comes along now, a second cut, and they say, yamre, that actually the din had been at simei etenovi pilei sheino, that he now is only chayef to pay dmei shein to the eved, and therefore he's being makrish, the original Edus, because the original one had said exactly the opposite, and what they had said was that the Zaymanim here, Nimtzu Zaymanim Kamoi, it turns out over here not as we thought, but rather the first Edim were turned out to be Edim Zaymanim, the ones who had said that it was Mapil Shino Visimeyat Eino. Now those, in fact, were Mukrashim. Because they were saying that the Rav has to pay Dmei Ayin. So what it's saying is that they have to pay Bishalmi Dmei Ayin the Rav. And therefore, Tainid Rav, Isa Gedaita Kakosha Lavskilat Azamayi, if you're telling me that Edom had already come along and said that no, what they said we were not going to do, we were not going to pay Dmei Ayin. We were only going to pay Dmei Shein, in which case we already weakened their testimony. So that if you hold Akashaz not Chilat Azama, why should they pay? We already were not going to collect the additional amount that they said. So my Mishalmi, Oit Kachashulami Ikara, before the Edom Zomimim came, there had come along a cut to say that they were telling a lie and that the events were only sufficient to be B'chayiv Hashem. Elishmai min Akashat Chilat Azama, therefore, we have to conclude, said Rava, that Akasha is Trilat Azama. To which, Abaya's response was, and now we're going back to understand with this new insight into what Rava was saying, that what Abaya was actually saying was, Abaya Amalecha, look, it's true that the Reisha, indeed, I admit, requires, in order to explain the words, Sharav Omer Kein, so Bishlam Eresha, you could say, is Lo Sagi de Lo Shalosh Kitot. Share Katani. The opening case doesn't really work out well without assuming that there were three Kitot, say, Maidin. that it was just one katamezim in Hur Mapich. Because, I mean, it does say, Shari Katani, quote, Harav Omerkein, unquote. And therefore, if the Rav is supposedly happy, if there hadn't been an original kat, the Rav would be very unhappy indeed. He's going to be losing his Evet. He's not thinking now in terms of the difference between Shein or Ayin, because there was no Chiv at all. But certainly, the last case, the Reisha, the Seifa, does not make sense to say that as much, because Seifa, Lom Lishalosh Kitot. Why talk about three Kitot? And remember that it's problematic to say three Kitot, because now that we're understanding that the case is that it's the first Kat that turned out to be Mezimi, it's awfully strange the way we're setting it up, because now we're talking about only the first cut and the last cut, and not discussing at all the middle cut, which is not mirroring the Reisha at all. Because, I mean, in the Reisha, it was the middle cut that was the problem. In the Sefer, it's the first cut that's the problem. And since we're not going to mirror the Reisha, it makes much more sense to learn it the way that I said it, which is, instead of saying it's talking about three kitot, say it's talking about two kitot. And if you're going to tell me, okay, but it says Sharia Eved Omer Kain, and that doesn't make sense, does it? It certainly does. Because Sharia Eved Omer Kain, even if we're talking about the only kitot, is still true. Because Eved Kodu Meimar Omer, obviously the Eved is happy to be Yotze L'Cheiras, he doesn't care. The Nechle the Nepuk L'Cheirut, he's happy to go out free. So we can always say Eved Omer Kain. Tosfos points out this is a rather strange lotion, because it's not as if there's any compromise. The Eved is happy across the board. The Eved's happy both because he's going out L'Cheirus, and also because they're backing him up that he's going to be getting more. That he was Yotze B'Shein, he's going to now get Ayin. So it is problematic. Tosfos Rabbeinu Peret says that all the Gemara is trying to say is that it wouldn't have mattered. So Koshken, when they're coming in this case to help him, and they're saying everything that he's saying, it's certainly good. So now it comes out, says Abaye, the Reish is talking about Shalosh Kitot. Not Bravchino. Not two Kitot, where we're Ramapich. So now the Achronim go ahead and they're Mazim, the second Kat, the Kata Mitziya. And therefore, without any Hafichah, it's, of course, the second cut that are being mapich, the first cut, but that was always the case. All right, so now what Rava is claiming is that if the Rav is first mesameh the ayin, and then mapi l'shein, the halacha would be that he was yotzi ba'ayin, and therefore he has to pay, was yotzi now with the ayin, and now you're going to have to pay for the shein to the evet, or the inverse. The problem is, Matkif L'Rabbi Zera, why don't we say, Ema Simeat Eino? Let's say that the moment that he blinded him, he was Nepek Be'eino, he went out now with the ayin, and that would be a case where he was only Yose with an ayin. In a case, as the Torah says, if he was Mepelet Sheino, he would also be going out only with Sheino. So he pilets Sheino and they poke Pesheino. But who's to say that if he knocks out an eye and a tooth, that he wouldn't simply be Yotze B'Shein V'Ayin? Like we always say, Yotze B'Shein V'Ayin. Why does it mean either Shein or Ayin? And then at that moment he becomes free, so to speak, and you pay him? Why? In fact, Sima Eteno Vi pilets Sheino, then he should be Nepuk B'Ayin V'Shino. Why should the Rav pay for anything? Obviously, if there was no Hamad Abedin, we're talking about. So if he was Amid Bedin, then fine. The evidence Yotze. But as long as there was no Hamad Abedin, so then what are we going to say? When we're Maimid Bedin, we retroactively make the evidence free, and now you pay for a free man? He's going to be Yotze. B'Shein V'Ayin. Amar Abaye, because it's a Chiddush Akro. Alecha Amar Akro, in order to make sure that you don't learn this way, the Torah goes out of its way to say, "Lachofshi yishalchenu tachat eino." Why stress tachat eino? To tell me tachat eino alone would be sufficient. V'lo tachat eino visheino. So that means you're yotzei theoretically with the ayin, and then when it says lachav shiyashachanot tachat sheino, means the same thing, tachat sheino alone, v'lo tachat sheino ve'eino, as if to say that once indeed we free the eved, then you're going to have to pay for whatever organ was subsequently damaged. Omri vidi barovin, the truth is afanan namitanina. If you take a look at our Mishnah, you can see that hakrasha is tchilat hazama. It says here, ganava pishnayim, v'tavachu machar al pihem. So now, the Eidim bring a raya, that was a ganeva. He goes ahead now, and he's also tavachu machar, but the same Eidim. And they say there was a tvichu mechira. And now nimtza zonami, mishamim lo atako. Now I assume that the case is, my love, de'ido al-gineva, v'chazuei'ido al-tvicha. So in the same way that we're contrasting this with a different cut, as we pointed out many times before, it would appear to be that the reisha is referring to two separate statements. So first, a statement on Sunday there was a gineva, a day later they come in, on Monday there was a tvicha. And if that's the case, we can say that then initially huzmu ala geneva, v'chazru huzmu ala tvicha, as we've tried to be medayik before, we could talk about a case where there was a hazoma on the geneva, and only subsequently a hazoma on the tvicha. Now, the problem is, of course, and we've pointed this out originally when we looked at the Mishnah, akivin shuzmu ala geneva, v'gabi tvicha v'le mukhashi, we've already weakened their testimony. Because if we're saying that there was no geneva, then the meaning of the tvicha is trivial. Because once we don't have the geneva being backed up over here, so then we're makrish the value of the statement of the tvicha. When we subsequently come along now, and we're mazim them on the tvicha as well, and it says, v'katani b'shamim lo atakol, why would they have to pay for the part of the dalad vehe for the tvicha the mechira? Why in the world are we paying for the tvicha? After all, they were already mukashat. There's no choice but to say that this is a right to rov. Amrei. Of course, as we've said, we're going to have to say that Rachamayis Kinnik don't choose Mala Tvicha Tchila. It's talking about first we were Mazen on the Tvicha, which was complete and not Mukreshet, and then we go back and we're Mazen them on the Geneva, in which case they were not as Mukreshet at the time that we're Mazen them on the Tvicha. So now this concludes our discussion of the Rayas to Abaye Varava as to whether Hakrashat Tchilat Hazama or not. We don't have a conclusive raya, but the truth is, says the Gemara, that there seems to be a much older machlokas about whether Hakrashat Tchilat Hazama. Beplukta. This machlokas of Abaye v'Rava, we find, was discussed earlier in that we have a ma'amar that runs as follows. Eidim, shehu krishu, ula besof huzmu, exactly this case. There's a machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. Chad Amar. One says that, yes, we can still be mazim them even though they were mukrashim. So that if the cut comes along and says, no, it wasn't Reuven who killed Shimon, it was Levi who killed Shimon. And then we go ahead and we're mazim, the ones who claimed that Reuven killed Shimon. Those enim zamimim would be neheragim. V'chad Amar, ein neheragim. So clearly there's a machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, about this. Even though we don't know who said what, we can nonetheless conclude on our own who said what. To Stayin, we can conclude that it was Rabbi Elazar who, the Omar Ein Neheragim. Let me show you that it must be Rabbi Elazar who says that we do not say Hakrashat Tchilat Hazama, and therefore we will not kill the cat of the Mezim. The Omar Rabbi Elazar. The Omar Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar had said a different halacha, that Eidim shukhushu benefesh, if you have now Eidim that had said that Reuven killed Shimon, and it says over there there was a hakrasha, Now, I mean, we're assuming that that means akasha. We're going to see that actually what it means is that we know for a fact that they were liars. And how do we know that? The supposed victim shows up in court and says, well, the reports of my demise are grossly exaggerated. So that's the best hakhasha we can have, right? We know that they were lying. So those witnesses are going to get malchus, lokim. Since they were over on Lota Nebri Achai Shakar, we'll give them malchus. V'yisak adaitach, if you're going to try to tell me that Rebbe Elazar holds that in the end, if we have zomimim that come and say that they were never even there, and that Rebbe Elazar shita is that Rebbe Elazar who the Omar ne'aragin in the case of Zamama, and that Akrosh is chilat zama, how do we give them malchus? Amayloki, why would we give them malchus for being over losan abriachai chaker? This lav of lotan abriachai chaker is a lav shenitan lazarat mitat beidin. Since the Torah over here said with this lav that they could be killed, because in this case, if we get the full information that they weren't even there, we will kill them. The klal is that kolav shenitan lazarat mitat beitin ein lo kinolav. You don't get malchus in a case where that lav could actually lead to misa. Ela lav. So the only way to understand that, shma mina that's Rebbe Elazar, di omer ein ne'aragin. But according to Rebbe Elazar, the very fact that there was hakasha means that they will never be killed now for the lotana, even if it turns out that they were Edom Zomimim. And that proves, Shema Mina, that Rebbe Elazar, Hudi Omar, Ein Ne'aragin. So he must be the one who says they will never get killed. Indeed, says the Gemara Tistayim, that is, in fact, conclusive evidence. Now, getting back, although I actually told you how we're going to come out, but it's rather strange to the Gemara until we figure out what the case was. If it means Hukrisho, the way the Hukrisho normally means, that another Kat of Edom came along and said that the opposite happened, why in the world, Lokin, Trevitrainino, why should we believe the Kat that said the otherwise? We have basically our Kosh of Trevitrei, Maichazita de Samachtahani, Smochahani. Why in the world would we give either of those Kitot Malkut? We don't know who's telling the truth and who is lying. Omar Abaye, it's talking about over here, Hukrisho. Not a hakrasha of another kat of Edim, but rather hukrashu b'baharuk b'raglav, that the supposed victim shows up in court and says, here I am.
Zakte helika mishneh, ganava pishnai, v'tavachu machar al piedechat.
If there were two witnesses for the gneva, but only one witness for the tvichu mechira, or for that matter, he himself came and said, I did the tvichu mechira, or piyatzimol, in that case, he would be Mishalem Tashlumei Kefel. So there's only a Chiyav for the Geneva of Kefel, but there's no Chiyav, obviously, for the Arba V'Chamisha, later the Knesset Potter. You cannot be Mechayev yourself. Or in the case of one witness is not enough. Prepares him to be Mechayev here. Ganavet Tavach B'Shabbat. Furthermore, a mere image of the opening Mishnah. So if the Geneva, and there was the Geneva, the Tficha, that occurs on Shabbos, or ganav tavach l'avodah zarah, where over here there would be a chiyuv misa, or ganav mishel aviv umet aviv achar kach tavach umachar, or where he's a partial owner through being an heir along with other brothers, and the father dying before the tvichu mechira, in which case, as the Gemara said earlier, you don't have utvacho, meaning kulo, or if he was ganav v'higdish, and now he went ahead with Magdish, the animal, the Achar Kach Tavachu Machar. In all of these cases, he's a Mishalim Tashlumei Kefel, but there is no Chiyav of Dalad Vehe. And a Mishalim Arba'a V'Chamisha. Because in all of these cases, we have a Ptur, either of Komlei Ben Rabbi Minei, or of the case of Hegdash, which is talking about over here, we have Yush, and Shinei Rishus, that there is no Din of Tashlumin of Arba Vehe, to Hegdash, as we'll see. Now, in a case, says Rabbi Shimon, where it was Kochim Shechayav Bachrayutan, where somebody now steals Hegdash itself from the house of the Baalim, we're going to see, is what Rabbi Shimon is referring to, and on the surface it isn't clear here. So says Rabbi Shimon, since it says, we know that it says V'gunav mi Beit HaIsh, mi Beit HaIsh means V'lo mi Beit HaKadesh. So there's no chiyuv of tashlumin to hegdash. Says Rabbi Shimon. However, if it was karchim shechayav v'achrayutan, so that for the balin, this was worth money, and if anything happens to this animal, since he said harei alai ola, let's say, so he's going to have to replace this because he took it on himself. Harei alai, not harei zil. Then it's worth money to the owner because this animal is basically the full value of what it will cost him for a korban. In that case, mishalim tashlumei arba avachamisha, even though it was klatchim, and that's because dovra agorim l'momon k'momondam, as we saw earlier, and it is v'gunav mibeit ha'ish, not mibeit ha'gdesh. But if it was hegdesh ein chayav b'achrayutan, and it doesn't need to be replaced, like he said, harei zo, then indeed it would be potter because it wasn't the Gunabi Beit Ha'ish. Says the Gemara, the opening of the Mishnah said that if you were Tovach HaMocher or Pir Echad, you're potter from Arba Avachamisha. I mean, that is a completely meaningless statement. You could say that about every possible case. And throughout the Gemara, we should always have Mishnayos that are saying, if this were done on Pir Echad, so then you're not chayav. I mean, obviously you're not chayav. It's completely trivial. Yes, the Gemara, piyed echad, pshita. Why do we have to mention this? Ah, tremendous chiddush, actually, says the Gemara. Amri, hakamashman, alpiyatzmo dumya, talpiyed echad. By putting together the words, alpiyed echad, o alpiyatzmo, what it's telling me is that the two cases are similar, and just like in the case where it was al pi erachad, ma al pi erachad, ki ati erachad mistarav ba'adet, if now a second witness shows up, we now have two witnesses, and of course, we will be mechayev you. So mechayev it. So too, if he was ganav, and then he was tavach u'machar al pi atzmo nami, if afterwards, ki atu edim, if two edim show up, we would be mechayev you, which is coming to tell me that meir b'knas, v'yachakach bo edim chayav, which is lafruk mirvun amarav. This Mishnah, therefore, seems to be a clear proof against Ravun amarav. The Omer Ravun amarav mode biknas v'achakach boedim patur. From the diak here in the Mishnah, we can see that mode biknas v'achakach boedim, you're actually chayav. So the only way that you're potter is if edim never show up. Now tomorrow, we're going to go into the details of the maimer of Ravuna Amarav and see how it's able to fit in with the various brightot Mishnayos.